Hello and welcome to the call. I'd like to give you a little information about how the call will work and then we'll get started. I'd appreciate it if everyone except Natalie would kindly hit the 6 button on your phone so we can mute all background noises. At the end, I'll take a few questions, and at that time, I'll ask those of you who have any questions to just push the 6 button again so we'll be able to hear you. The format for the call is simply that I'm going to interview Natalie, and when we're finished, we'll make sure we save time for a couple questions. For those of you who don't know me and who may be friends of Natalie or people who visit her site, I'm Dotsy Bregel, and I'm the founder of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which can be found at nabbw.com. And also BoomerWomenSpeak.com, and they're the number one sites on major search engines for baby boomer women. I am passionate about educating and empowering my generation of women, which is boomers, and we were born between 1946 and 1964. I just have to mention our sponsors before we get started, and then I'll introduce Natalie, and then we'll begin the interview. Let's see, our sites are proudly sponsored by Me Again Products, which are tried and true products for women at midlife, and that can be located at meagainonline.com. We're also sponsored by SunSuite for those who are interested in digestive health, and SunSuite can be located at plumsmart.net. We're also sponsored by Dolans.com, so if you're interested in excellent financial information that can help you live a more financially responsible midlife, you can find them at Dolans.com, and that's D-O-L-A-N-S. And then our last sponsor is Elations, which is the daily drink supplement that offers relief for joint aches and pains. And it's an alternative to taking the big horse pill, so this way you can just drink a bottle a day and be without your aches and pains. And you can find Elations at elations.com. If you're on the call and you're not a member of the NABBW, I would like to offer you the opportunity to join today at a discounted rate of $50, and that's $25 off. And you can do that by emailing me, and my email address is dots@nabbw.com. And I'll send you a link to join for the discounted rate. Okay, this is one of our many free educational opportunities, and once a member of the association, we have approximately 50 of these teleseminars archived in the members-only section of our site. You can listen to them, or you can print them, because we also transcribe our teleseminars. So if you don't like to sit at the computer and listen, you can print them and throw them in your purse and read them at your convenience. Okay, Natalie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, hello. I'd like to introduce you. Natalie Kane is the founder of Empty Nest Support Services, and her website is emptynestsupport.com. When her daughter was a senior in high school, she realized that as a soon-to-be empty nester, she would be undergoing a major life shift, and not wanting to confront this transition alone, nor have her many friends face this abyss without strong support, she created a support services group, which quickly grew into a new career and exciting full-time business. And Natalie, we share something in common, and that is Boomer Women Speak was also launched when I was staring the empty nest in the face when my 3 children were all in high school. So it's interesting how you can take something that's of interest to you and even a passion and turn it into a business, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, she never imagined that this passion would lead to speaking engagements, consulting, teaching others how to facilitate support groups, running her popular website, which features articles, teleseminars, blogs, newsletters, a story of the month, an art gallery, and a lively free forum. So she keeps herself busy right within this topic and also has her passion as her family. So it's worked well. She lives in Southern California with her husband and cat. And your daughter is now living away from home and working. Is that right?
That's true.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to add to that?
No, thank you for having me, Dotsie, and you did a great job introducing me.
Okay, well, good.
Great.
Good. We decided to do this topic this time of year because I know personally I have some friends who are struggling, and, in fact, my next-door neighbor just sent her youngest away to New Orleans, and we live in Towson, Maryland, so she's quite a ways from home, and this is, I know, a really tough time for her, and I just know that it's the time of year where the kids are gone, they've been gone a couple weeks, people are looking at, like, heading to see their children for Parents Weekend, so we thought it would be a good time to hear from our expert about the topic. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit, and we're going to keep some things in mind while we're doing this. There are quite a few things to consider, and when Natalie and I talked about this, we mentioned that there are the parents that you have to take into consideration, and there are the children. And then there are their parents that are doing well, and there are the parents who are not doing well. And then there are the children that are doing well, and there are the parents that are not doing well. So as we go through these questions, we're going to take those things into consideration, and then, you know, we'll be able to talk to you at the end and see if you have anything to share, or maybe if you can tell us if you're in the middle of, you know, a little bit of a tough time after the last ones left home, and hopefully what we have to share here today will be of help. So I guess the biggest question is, and it might be hard for some of the people that are on the call who have not prepared, but Natalie, how would you begin to prepare for the empty nest? Because even if people are coming in to this preparation late and the kids have already left home, what are some things that they can be doing?
Well, you know, you can prepare at any time. It could be the day before. It could be when they're in junior high school. And one thing is to begin to make a list of what people have complimented you about. Over the years, they may say, you're such a good organizer. You're such a good cook. Oh, my God, your garden is always beautiful. It makes me feel so relaxed. You're so considerate. So you literally write down what you remember people have complimented you about. Then you make another list that says what you think you're good at. And the third list is what's fun for you to do. And in those three lists, some will connect and some won't have anything to do with each other. But it begins to let you drop into a place that you just haven't had time to go into. And the other thing that's a really simple experience is to just go to your local bookstore and start to walk up and down the aisles that you don't usually visit. You know, for example, one woman that I was working with she's a chef, actually. And when I told her this idea, she goes, okay, I'll give that a try. And she went to Barnes & Noble and went down the science fiction aisle. And she found some books that she remembered even from childhood. Long story short, she kept it in the trunk of her car because she was always busy. And whenever she had, you know, 10 minutes before the soccer game or waiting in line, whatever it was, she had this book, and it sparked in her a whole new imagination. And she took a few notes on what touched her in this imaginary world. And from there, it's such a stretch, but it does really happen, she designed napkins with these imaginary codes on them. So my point in just a few of those examples is just begin something that you haven't done before, and it gives a message to yourself, I'm here for you, and I'm open to something new.
Okay, now that's really good, and in fact, you're not going to believe this, but I was heading home from the airport yesterday, and I had the radio station on, and they were interviewing these two women who wrote a book called The Empty, I can't remember, they didn't actually say the title while I was listening, but about the empty nest. And that's very similar to some of the things that they were discussing. And this was just yesterday. I thought that was crazy. But what about, why is the stage so difficult? And then maybe we can talk about, you know, I think one of the reasons is because we have given ourselves up pretty much for the however many number of years we've been raising children, whether we stay at home or whether we work. And now all of a sudden, we have this time to consider, wow, you know, I really put myself aside for so long, and now I have time to address myself again, and like you're saying, kind of come into our own, or who we were before we had children and what our interests were, whether it was, you know, horseback riding or whether it was like this woman with her, her nonfiction, her science fiction. Yeah, her science fiction. Because it's like we've almost lost ourselves for so many years. So tell us a little bit about why the stage is so difficult, and so we can just kind of address that and then go from there.
Sure. Well, you know, I will tell you guys that over the 6 years that I've been talking to thousands of parents, and recently the exciting news as well is that fathers are asking for support. The number one thing that has come up is, am I normal? Mm-hmm. Is this how I'm supposed to be feeling? And my explanation of why this is a difficult time is, literally, your house goes silent. It goes from a 10 to a 1. And you know it in your head. It's coming. Someday they'll go to college. They're going to be gone. What do I think I want to do? But most humans aren't good at planning ahead. And that's not a criticism. We're just full with what we're doing now. So it stays in the back of our minds. And then all of a sudden you really are hit with it when you hug your kids goodbye at the dorm and you come back home. So you have this sudden shock. You have a huge role change. You know, your child would walk in the room and they'd light up to see you and you would light up to see them. And over the years, when they start to hit that junior high school, it still shows up, but it's beginning to shift. You're mm-hmm. still lit up. You can't wait to see them or hear what happened at school that day or the party or any dreams they have. Suddenly they're gone, and your role shifts because you're asked to now be more of a mentor than a manager of their life. You don't know their schedule. You don't know who they're hanging out with. You don't know how they're feeling. You don't even know how they look. You don't even know if they ate. So it's such a huge change that it's shocking. And the third thing is, it's not spoken about enough, I don't believe, in the world, but it will be. We're kind of the pioneers now of Empty Nest. It's a true step-by-step grieving process.
Mm-hmm.
Because the role that you loved playing, signing up to be a mom or a dad, has been your most rewarding and unconditional love that you've ever felt. And all of a sudden, that feels gone. It's not that they're not coming back, but you know that whatever didn't happen probably won't happen, and that now you're going to be asked to be different.
Okay,
and
so anytime.
Yes,
yes. So it's really like the whole life transition that we're looking at and changing roles. We're no longer, you know, the mom who is hyper-involved with their children. We're moms from a distance. So we're grieving who we were, where we've been, and the fact that we'll never be going back there. So I'm just wondering if you could talk a little bit about, because I want to shift this to a more positive thing where we can take it from a midlife kind of crisis and turn it into a midlife opportunity. But before I go there, I want to talk to you about what you do when you get the sinking feeling and tears begin and, you know, you're kind of just getting down about it. And then we're going to switch and we're going to, you know, talk more about the positive side. So what do you recommend for women who are really grieving, who are missing the kids, you know, who are going to, I know some women who go to their kids' college website and read what's going on at the college and just spending too much time thinking about the child being gone. What do you recommend that women do?
Well, I was one of those women. So I had, you know, a full-time career, married, you know, meetings with my husband's partners, girlfriends, hiking, you know, a very full life. But that disconnect for my daughter because we were so close was painful. And what I used to do, before I'd even make my coffee at 6 a.m., is I would run to the computer, pop on instant message, and hope that she was there for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, see if there's an email, or, you know, check the cell phone, and literally had the phone Velcroed to me at work, in the car, just to not miss a moment with her. And what I did before my daughter, whose name is Rachel, left, is I made a list in preparation for those sorrowful moments of everything that's fun for me. I mean, from the traitest of just walking through a nursery garden, not buying anything. Just I started accumulating in a journal what's fun for me. Music that I like. And then the other thing is I had a sign by my computer that said, pause, count to five before you email her or call her.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really need to do that right now, or do you need to call a girlfriend to say, let's go for a walk, or do you need to get up and get out the door and walk yourself? So you want to have a few of these practices, because the truth is, whether you have a career, whether you're close to your child or not, you will feel at certain moments a sorrow, and you'll be so glad to have that Kleenex with aloe. And you have to acknowledge first, this is a loss, I know what I'm missing. And then the dreamer side comes, the parts of you that went dormant. Because in my research, I've really seen that when we choose to be parents, it's natural that parts of us have to go dormant. And so as you open up to this freer time and more space, you're letting the dormant side know, okay, I can come out again.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the fun things that we've done in the groups and one-on-one is we created what we've called a sacred space. And in that sacred space, let's say you're going to choose courage, because initially you don't feel very courageous. You don't feel very energetic. You're shocked. You're like, wait, I'm a go-getter, and now I'm not going. So you may choose courage, and then you look through a magazine or you find some found objects that represent courage. You know, one woman used Xerox, a tarot card,
mm-hmm.
that represented courage. And you put it on a napkin or a pretty cloth in a place that no one will touch. You know, mine, when I first started doing these little sacred altars, was in my office the first time up high. But the problem with that is my cat, Sophie, decided to knock it down. So I had to find a new place. But the point of doing this is every time you pass by that, you pause in front of it. And it's a reminder of, oh, yeah, I'm going for some courage today,
mm-hmm.
which means I'm going to call a friend and say, hey, you want to meet, you know, after work just to talk for a while, or do you want to come over Saturday? What we forget to do is put something in our calendar that supports us.
Yes, and having something to look forward to is what I was advised, because I have three children and the youngest two left at the same time. So we went from having, one was away, and then he came home in the summer, that summer. So we had all three kids at home, and then all of a sudden, all three were gone. So
mm-hmm.
we went from having, you know, three at home to just two at home, three again in the summer, and then all of them were gone at the same time. And I was encouraged to always have something to look forward to, whether it's, you know, a night away with your spouse or just a walk with a friend or, you know, a trip to the mall or a movie or whatever. Just have something on your calendar to look forward to. Because one thing that we haven't mentioned, Natalie, which I think is really important, is I don't know if everybody on the call is familiar with the term helicopter parents, but it's a big term right now for baby boomers, because we are hovering around our children who are either in college or young adults in the workplace, and we're just hanging over them and really staying too involved in their lives. And I know that this often happens when children go away to college. The parents continue, oh, well, can I come this weekend? Will you come home this weekend? When will I see you next? When will I talk to you next? Why didn't you respond to my email? blah, blah, blah. I saw you online and I, you know, but you weren't responding, whatever it is. And what we have to remember is that definitely has an effect on them. And unfortunately, it doesn't help our relationship. I think it hinders it. And so it's important for our children to see us not getting stuck and able to move on. And it's just so hard to find that balance. I know I'm working at it right now because I am an empty nester, but my oldest son has just bought a home and lives in the city. My youngest son just graduated and is working in New York. And then my daughter's away at college nearby, but lives away. And so I'm trying to find that balance between, you know, I feel like picking up the phone and calling them often, but I thought, oh, gosh, I just don't want to do it every time I think of it, you know. So and how often should I email, and should I send them this, should I tell them that, can this wait for a couple days? Because I don't want them to think that I'm sitting around, you know, waiting to communicate with them, and I don't want to be a pest. So,
well, you're talking, Doxy, about for the rest of our lives, you know, my mantra is I need to be a good role model.
Exactly.
So whether they're home or not, you still want a role model that, quote, you have a life.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some tough days, so you want to be real. You know, it's a tough day today. I missed you, hon, but I'm doing just fine. The cat's fine. Grandma's fine. You know, can't wait to see it Thanksgiving. But, you know, two keys that really help with that pool that we have is, and write it down, put it in your bathroom, in your car, focus on yourself. And it's a habit we don't have as parents. But it will bring you back and keep you from chattering in your head of, I want to call them, I want to know what's happening, they didn't answer me. Go, oh, yeah, this is for me to focus on me.
That is a great little reminder.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the key is to say, what do I need right now, and what am I feeling right now? So that you start to develop this inner dialogue with yourself and get to unfold more parts of you. And it could be, you know, right now, I just need to get out of here. Or right now, I've got 20 more minutes at the office, and maybe I'm going to cry in the car. And then when I get home, I'm not going to stay in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So it's two things to remember, is to really focus on yourself. And the second, which is, I think, the hardest practice, is to lower your expectations. When we get into trouble, which means trouble of disappointment, hurt, resentment, feeling betrayed, is our expectations are unrealistic. How could they not call and thank me for the care package? How come they didn't answer when I called them and said, look, I need to know your schedule, da-da-da-da-da, in case of emergency? Those are expectations that you have. But as Doxy was saying, in the kids' world, they're not thinking that way anymore. They're away from home. Their thought is, I don't have an authority right now. I don't have to punch in, clock in, report in. I'll handle it. I might not handle it like my mom and dad do, but believe me, I won't miss the flight.
Right.
And if I don't feel well, I'll go get some Tylenol. And you want to let your kids problem solve on their own, make their mistakes, and that's a motivation for you of, I don't want to rescue them right now. If they really, really need me, they're going to call me. So go back to you and say, what do I need right now? What am I feeling right now? And if no one's available, and you have a day off, or you're not working for whatever reason, have that plan. You know, for me, on the weekends, it was getting into nature. I really relax more, so much if I'm by water or in a forest, and just out of the house where the energy shifts for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just having those reminders to yourself of, this is a tough time, and I don't have to push myself to start volunteering or getting a new career or start dating since I'm a single empty nester. You know, the pusher has to get quiet, and the nurturer has to come forward to you, just like you've nurtured your kids, and say, this is a tough transition for me. I've never been here before, and I got to take it easy and be gentle with myself. You know, before I dropped my daughter off and then helped my three nephews, because their mother had died, and she was my best friend, I actually did some food at home that I freeze just because I love to cook and the act of cooking is nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a little box, just a leftover box from a gift, and I put quotations in there for me before I left. I put some little objects in there. This is going to sound silly, but one of them was a ball and jacks, mm-hmm. just to remind me to play more, because we forget to play as adults, and it's such an enlivening energy. You know, a hula hoop, a jump rope, crayons. You just start a collection to awaken these parts of you.
Okay, so let's
start to cope.
All right, let's talk then about the so basically, if you're feeling in a funk, reach out and start doing some of these things that you've been talking about. So let me just see if anybody has a question right now about kind of the sad side and how do I go about getting help. If anybody has a question, push 6, and we'll listen to your question, and then we'll go back and jump into the part about taking this as an making this an opportunity. Does anybody have any questions so far? Because I don't want to just, you know, gloss over this if there's somebody that says, oh, but I'm having such a hard time. Can you be more specific or something like that? Okay.
One of the things I would like to share, if it's a, you know, if we have time.
Sure, go ahead.
There's so much to talk about because it's such a range of relationships that you have and feelings that you have. But a lot of questions I get are, I'm not that into my partner.
Yeah, well, you know what? I was going to get into the partner scene.
So I wanted to give, before we run out of time,
mm-hmm.
a really successful, fun thing to do with your partner. And if it's okay, Doxy, I'm going to describe it. It takes 2 minutes to do it.
Sure, sure.
Okay. So it's called the pizza pie.
Mm-hmm.
And literally you draw this big circle.
Mm-hmm.
And you divide it, you know, into your pies. And here are the categories. Health, creativity, spirituality, relationships, career, finances, fun, and intellect.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did with my husband is I remember it so well, and we still talk about it. We went outside with coffee in the morning in the backyard, and I said, you know, this will take a few minutes. This is a way for us to just see where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you, with each of those areas, health and creativity, you look at how much time am I spending on my health? How much time am I spending having fun? How much time have I stimulated my intellect? How much time am I looking at my finances? So you can do this by yourself, and if you have a partner, they do it at the same time. It is so safe, and it is so telling in a matter of 5 minutes. And then from there you look at, oh, I see the gaps. I see where I'm out of balance. And then each of you kind of has a chance to say, okay, I'm just going to pick this one. You know, I'm, for my husband, who's very busy and runs his own business as well, he realized he wasn't, you know, doing his guitar anymore, and
mm-hmm.
that was a fun piece for him. So no way was he going to take lessons. But we set up this timeline of, okay, how about if you play the guitar for me Saturday or Sunday, you know, pick it, you know, do you want to do it in a week or whatever? So it's little increments like that you start to do. And the second partnering idea, or to do for yourself, that has been so helpful is having a journal. And I worked with this one family where the issue was, it's amazing, he was a writer and she was a professor at a university, but his verbal skills weren't very strong and she felt very abandoned. So I said, okay, how about if you just take a journal and each night you pass the journal to each other. You write whatever it is that you're thinking and feeling about in this transition, and in the morning leave it on the kitchen table.
Ooh.
It just worked for them. It wasn't threatening. There was no critic that would come out. They didn't have to be as vulnerable hearing themselves say it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what came out of it that was so cool is they took time off and rented what my daughter used to call a home car. And they both discovered that what they wanted was to see America. And
wow.
They never knew that.
Mm-hmm.
So for their vacation, that's what they decided to do. and to keep a journal on what it was like being on the road. And it's just amazing what can happen, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and I agree. I think so much of our future lies in being still today. And that's something that I always promote, is just be still and get to know yourself. And I think that's what happens when we're in our empty nest. We know who we are when it comes to taking care of our family, and we know what our role is, and we're darn good at it. But once that is taken away from us, we need to reevaluate and say, okay, who am I now? And I think one of the best ways to do that is journaling and just being still and being prayerful. And I love your idea of the pie. Can you run through those pieces of the pie again for our transcriptionist?
Sure.
So make sure she got them all, okay?
Here's the categories.
Okay.
Health.
Mm-hmm.
Creativity.
Right.
Spirituality.
Okay.
Relationships.
Okay.
Career.
Mm-hmm.
Finances. Fun. Intellect.
Okay, and so basically what you're doing with your spouse, I think this is excellent and a perfect time to do it because it's a big life transition, is going through each of those topics and sharing with one another where you are, where you stand, where you'd like to go with them. Is that correct?
That's it.
Okay.
And I will tell you as a sidebar, I've had a lot of kids, college kids, call me. They call in the summer before they go, and they call when they're gone. And they'll say, you know, I'm writing this because my mom's driving me nuts. She's so depressed. She calls me too much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interfering with my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I've referred her to your web, Natalie, but, you know, is there anything quick that you could recommend? This is the one I pass on, whether
okay.
you're single, married. And I've even had college kids when they're homesick.
Mm-hmm.
And they send me an email. I've had them do this for themselves.
Okay, so it's like a little personal inventory. And
it's just a way to go inside yourself and check it out in a matter of 5 minutes.
Okay.
You know, it's
excellent.
Fun.
And that's good. And actually, it leads into taking this midlife crisis and turning it into an opportunity. Because I would have to say that I totally believe that in the seasons of life. And I actually chose to stay home when we had our children, and that was a decision that my husband and I had made prior to even having children, that I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. And so when I was looking at them leaving, and then what compounded it by me was that my mom became ill with cancer and was given 6 months to live, and I had always volunteered. I don't know if any of the other women on the call volunteered like crazy women at the church, the school, the rec council, the neighborhood, et cetera, wherever the kids were involved, we did our fair share of volunteering, and I had always done that. And then when Mom became ill, I had to say, I can't do any of this volunteer work anymore. I mean, because, you know, at one point, this one thing I was involved with became, you know, almost a full-time job. So anyway, and then what happened was I helped my family care for my mom, and then she died in like 6.5 months. And then when she was gone, I was, first of all, saddened by the fact that Mom was no longer with me, and then also by the fact that I was really feeling without purpose because not only was Mom gone, I had dropped all volunteer work except one project. And my children, one had his license, one was in driver's ed. Well, actually, two were in driver's ed. And my kids just didn't need me. So for me, I was really feeling without purpose. And I think, you know, again, that's what the empty nest is. Women are feeling without purpose. But I believe that our generation is seeing this midlife crisis, whether it's an emptiness or a divorce at midlife or, you know, losing a job, whatever a crisis could be at midlife. And we are just looking at it with different eyes and experiencing it as an opportunity. So we go within, we say, okay, you know, what can I do here because I'm going to be living a heck of a lot longer, which is another reason I think we're taking this more seriously at midlife because people aren't dying in their 60s as a rule anymore. I mean, some people, of course, do. But overall, I mean, we have people living into their 90s and, you know, 100. And if our generation is going to live longer than the greatest generation, we need to find purpose. We need to make this an opportunity. So that's a great, those tools, the journaling and the one you just mentioned, are really good ideas. Do you have anything else that can encourage the women on the call to look at this as a time of opportunity and really try to turn it into a time that is positive and not negative, especially after the first couple months? You know, we kind of get used to the fact that the kids are gone and really settle into that new idea. So can you help us there, Natalie?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I want to just tell you two of my recent quotes. I love quotations, and mm-hmm. when I started facilitating women's groups in 1982, I started a basket
mm-hmm.
where I would just collect quotations. So I just want to read these two for you right now. One is, this first one is by a Balinese dancer, and she said, "There's someone out there who needs you. So live your life so that person can find you."
Okay, very good.
And it's what you're talking about. When we seek meaning in life, we don't want to just do the marketing and the laundry and chit-chat. And, you know, part of what we loved about parenting is it gave us a wide range of feeling good about ourselves and discovering the dark and light sides of ourselves. So we seek that meaning. The other quotation that I love by David White, who's a poet, he said, "People are really hungry right now. One good word is bread for thousands, and people are so hungry. Say your one good word." So what that is it's natural when we're grieving to get negative and
mm-hmm.
say, "I don't have enough money, I'm alone, I don't have a partner, I can't think of what to do. You know, she gets to study abroad, I don't. She got a new laptop, I never had a laptop." It's normal that those voices are going to emerge, and so because it's part of grieving.
So right, right.
What you want to, you've got to understand, you're truly in grieving. It's shocking, you're angry, you're scared. Change, whether it's joyous or scary, change still completely takes you off balance. So what you want to do, and it's a practice again, is really ask for help. And what I've noticed in the 6 years is we don't ask the right person for help.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we ask a friend we've had for a long time, which is great. But use your experts. Go to your community colleges. Go to your libraries. Look on the web. If you're interested in being a graphic designer, if you're interested in mentoring kids from low-income families, if you're interested in going to chef school, if, you know, whatever, you have a slight interest, do some research and then get an expert. And if money's an issue, which it is for all of us now, I mean, these are tough times, you can do a barter. You can say, you know, if you mentor me on this or teach me Photoshop or computer skills, I could deliver meals for you.
Or, mm-hmm.
So you want to start thinking in that way, where you think outside of the box. And number two, you shift your perception. Always let yourself empty your well, which means go ahead and have your good cry. I've had parents call me and say, "I need a good cry and I can't get it out. I'm irritable. I've got a headache. My nose is stuffy. My back hurts. I can't seem to cry." My thing is, go rent Terms of Endearment. Rent a movie.
No, I never thought of that.
Honest to God, because sometimes we are so busy and so in our heads, and then we drop into this vacant space. We need a sad movie to jumpstart that flow of grieving. So you do that for one, and number two is you really ask for help. You know, and you really, like Dotsie was saying, make a plan for yourself and really start, like our kids are. In some ways, they're paralleling what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're seeking new stimulation and new dreams and new friendships. We're doing the same thing, but for a different reason.
Right. And,
so
you know,
you want to remember that, you know, that you're a seeker now. So let yourself have those big dreams as well as the small dreams. And I'm telling you right now, for women, there is so much support out there. There's so many resources and financial support and adult classes that are maybe $20, $50. And my other key that I talk about often, because I experienced it myself, is step out the door, and I did work full time, but step out, say, okay, I'm going to go listen to this book lecture, or I'm going to this music concert, and if you don't like it, get up and leave, because you're feeling so vulnerable right now that a part of you might get caught in that, I can't do this right now, and that's okay. So if you give yourself permission, I'm going to go to this event, and if I don't like it, I get to come back. Usually you do hang a little bit longer than you thought.
Mm-hmm.
And check your local colleges for live music. The arts for us right now in this major transition are extremely healing. Painting, drawing, music, dancing. I had two women start piano lessons at their local college. Another joined a chorus. She took, and I did that as well. I took a music lesson. You just have to let yourself experiment with what you might like, ceramics, whatever it is, and they're not that expensive, these classes.
Right. And you know, Natalie, I have to say that because sometimes people will say, oh, everything, you know, takes money. Well, you know, we are worth it, first of all. And you know, we're busy sending away these care package to the kids. You could take that $20 and go sign up for the course at your local community college, but I know our high schools have the continuing ed at night.
Right.
And those courses are so inexpensive. And it's just to, you know, take your mind off of the missing the child and all the negativity and trying to focus on something new and different.
You have to pour out for, I'm sorry, Dotsie.
That's right.
I just want to acknowledge, because I've seen this over the years, that first stage is really being able to empty your glass, you know, and pour it out, the grieving. And one of the things that we did in our group and one-on-one is to write a letter first, just for yourself, of everything you loved about being a parent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because this way, you're not just burying the sorrow
mm-hmm.
and what's missing for you. You're acknowledging, you know, as much as I hated bringing those snacks to soccer class, you know, I also loved it. It
mm-hmm.
just made me feel good to be a nurturer.
Mm-hmm.
So you write this letter of what you loved about parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next letter that you write is, what am I going to love with my free time? And if a little part of you slips out and goes, nothing, I can't think of anything to love, you just continue to write, I can't think of anything. And I'm telling you, it's just like a storm. The sun truly will come. You don't stay in the storm forever.
Right. And,
you know
I might...
It'll come all of a sudden where it could be you just take photographs in your garden in the morning. You know,
yeah.
Photograph your neighborhood. You have no idea what will come until you show up with yourself.
Right, and gosh, I had a thought there, and now I just lost it that quickly. Darn it. Gosh, I totally lost it, which is darn.
Well, I've lost it many times. I'm sorry about
that. Okay, we only have a few more minutes, but I did want to ask a question about some women are probably wondering, how often should I be in touch with my child? That's a way. How often should I know you say don't have expectations, but, you know, do we talk once a week? Do we email once a week?
Well,
and
I'm sorry.
That's right. And do you recommend getting webcams?
No.
Okay. Okay. I mean, because, you know, everybody does.
But
think differently.
Right, and that's the point, Dotsie. At this stage of our life, this major transition, as adults now, we learn to live with paradoxes.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the paradox. Oh, I don't think anyone should have a webcam. Oh, you want to have a webcam? Okay. So in other words, it's difficult, but I tell the college kids this, as well as the parents, as well as the professors. Living with paradoxes will give you more peace. Give yourself permission to hold both energies. And on a specific level, you can't compare how you're dealing with this transition to how your best friend's doing it, because they don't know the inner works of what really went on in your family.
Right,
some
exactly.
Things we don't reveal. We don't reveal drugs all the time. We don't reveal the fact that our kid was a lazy slob or a procrastinator. We don't reveal a DUI. I mean, there's certain things that are private in a family, and for other families, they do reveal. There's no rule.
Right.
So what I'm saying is it has not successfully worked to ask a college kid to call Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Because it makes them watch a clock, it gets them in trouble with their parents. You know, it's a setup to fail.
Okay,
you
so you don't,
call, you, said.
You don't recommend, oh, well, just call me every Sunday evening. You don't recommend that.
No, I don't.
Okay.
What I recommend is this is a time, and it's so hard to practice, to trust your kids, to believe in your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to call, and they're going to be in the midst of something, and you wish that you hadn't called them. You know, I would call my daughter, and she was, Mom, I'm whispering, I'm in the middle of my Sonneteers a cappella group. We're rehearsing. You know, so it's like,
and then you hang up and you feel like, oh,
and
my
you feel
gosh,
badly.
Why
so
did
you're
I?
You're going to make a mistake. They're going to make a mistake. You're going to be so angst for whatever reason one day you're terribly missing them. You go, all rules out the window. I'm calling. I'm demanding them to call me back today. That's the paradox. You get to do that. You get to say, you know what? I'm feeling little today. I'm kind of angst. Could you just either pop me an email, tell me anything about your day, or could you just leave a voicemail or even call me? You get to do both.
Okay.
But it doesn't work to have a set time. It doesn't work to have these expectations of, you know, you're going to email or call. They just feel badly about themselves, and they feel held on a string.
Yeah, and I just think communication, because I'm going through this with my kids. We've never done the call me such and such. We've never done that. And we've always just been, we're in touch when we feel the need to be in touch, whether it's them or us.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of what I'm going through right now with them being, you know, totally out of the house and out of college and that kind of thing. And it's just interesting because other families do it differently. I have a sister who hears from her kids every Wednesday night and every Sunday night. And it works for them. But for me, it's like, oh, my gosh, what if it's Monday night and I need to talk to my daughter, you know?
Exactly. And I'll tell you a big complaint that I hear, and it's surprising, is, you know, I keep emailing him, and I leave him messages on his cell. He doesn't answer emails. He doesn't answer a cell. You will not believe this, but literally 2 weeks went by before a family heard from their child.
Mm-hmm.
That's excruciating.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Freshman.
Yeah, right.
But you can't control it. That's the point. You're going to hurt. It's going to make you angry, and you're going to let them know. That
mm-hmm.
was too scary for me.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, you know, my nephews, some of them are not good at email. They don't like it. They don't want to respond when they have to respond. I have that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've had to work on it for years, that if the phone rings at home, I used to think, oh, my God, I got to answer that. And now it's like, no, you get to pause.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to answer now, wait and call them later.
Right.
So, you know, we're kind of all in this learning curve of our mm-hmm. expectations and self-care. Self-care is a new piece every day.
Right.
Just a new piece of life.
Okay. Well, I think, do you have anything that you want to add before we get off? Well, actually, I would like to add something before we see if anybody has any questions, and that is to please visit NABBW.com because Natalie has, oh gosh, over 30 probably articles archived there. And I'm telling you, everything we've talked about is addressed in those articles. And some are just very specific and very helpful. And then, Natalie, do you want to tell them about your site and the community that you have there? Because I think that's very supportive.
Yes, actually, everything is free online. There's a free newsletter, the message board. Is active, caring parents that respond immediately, giving support, asking questions. You know, we do blogs, we do stories of the month. There is no membership for Empty Nest Support Services. You know, we're building a community because we've lost community when our kids leave school, and we were a part of that school. So I just encourage you to come for support. If you want a private consultation, if you want me to come speak, help you start a support group in your community, I've done that, and then I come back in 6 months for a follow-up. You know, we're doing a new journaling online class.
Mm.
I'm doing private retreats with empty nesters just so they get individual step-by-steps of how to move through it, and how to deal. You know, we just don't have time today, but a big shock and issue is the transition when they come back at Thanksgiving.
Oh, boy, that's a whole other
call.
And
how do you really, really have a healthy relationship with your married kids, with your college kids, with your kids that are working abroad or working full-time? It's a very big issue. So keep visiting the web, and hopefully we'll have some good tips and support for you to never go through this alone. Just don't go through it alone. Get some help, because it's a very tough transition. And then it's so joyous and so freeing. You're just, it's like that V8 commercial. Oh, my God, I could have had a V8.
Right,
but you're not
right.
there yet until you're there. So
right.
Be gentle with yourself.
Okay, does anybody that's on the call have a question? If so, you have to push the 6 button so that we can hear you. And sometimes it takes people a couple minutes to get the courage to ask a question. And if anybody doesn't want to ask and you'd like to email Natalie after the call or at a later date, Natalie, you want to share your email address?
Yes, it's natalie@emptynestsupport.com.
Okay. All right.
And
did you have anything else you want to share?
Something on the web, too, if you have a question. That's fine as well.
Okay. Okay. That sounds good. All right, Natalie. Well, I just want to thank you for all of your expertise and for supporting women today. And we will be in touch from the association, and have a great rest of the day.
Thank you for having me, Dotsie.
Okay. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.